Are you sitting comfortably? Then we will begin. Well, hey there, fellow nerds and ne'er-do-wells. I'm AJ, and welcome to the Adventurers Anonymous podcast, the home of fantasy fucknuggetry. Come join us week by week as a rotating cast of geeks sip cocktails, play Dungeons & Dragons, and dance around the boundaries of common decency. Well, this week we've got something a little bit special for you, as a lot of the other players have had to cry off. Matt Durant in particular, getting up to some sort of sinister espionage in Finland. I'm not entirely sure what he's doing, but he's probably perverting the course of democracy. So what I am left with is Chris and Chris, which can only mean one thing, listeners, that we're going to have ourselves a very special Hanash one-shot. We're going to go back in time and look at the younger years of your favourite green friend. So, without further ado, let me introduce some of our players today. First up, we have a man who is ever-present and ever-grumpy. It is the very wonderful Mr. Chris Neal.
Well, hello, my precious blueberries. Tonight, I will be playing Stitch Willowtip.
The voice never leaves you, does it?
Before we started recording, I was like, AJ, I don't think I have the voice. I haven't practiced it. I don't think I have the voice. As soon as you mentioned it, I was like, Stitch has returned.
How many, like, cheap French cigarettes do you have to smoke to get into the zone?
It really, really could be. When the voice gets louder and louder, I do feel like I'm becoming more myself. I feel like Stitch is like a mad scientist, an old mad scientist. That's the vibe. It's like Aemon Targaryen from Game of Thrones meets Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Specifically with the hair of Doc Brown.
Hmm.
That's the, like, persona he's got. He is a goblin, after all.
Okay. There we go, listeners. Stitch Willowtip is back in the house. And, of course, we have the titular character himself, Hanash, played by the international cardigan model, Chris Ragg.
Hey, sweethearts. I'm excited to get into young Hanash before he became green. Let's cause some chaos. Let's break some federal rules.
Before he became green?
I ate the stone, didn't I? I wasn't always green.
You have definitely always been an orc. I think the problem is that the storylines... Half orc. I think canonically you're furry, aren't you? And you've got like a stumpy tail, but we just never talk about that shit.
Did I grow the fur or did I... Something... I think I went fully green. I don't think I was green before eating the green stone. I think I ate the green stone and then turned green.
No, you were definitely green. You were definitely half orc.
What changed then?
Okay. I'm going to drop a bombshell here.
Go for it.
You got stronger, you got furrier, and you got a tail. Do you know why? Because in my mind, and this has never happened and will never happen, because this is how far off target the campaign has gone. So this is a spoiler, but it'll never happen because it hasn't happened. I was going to turn you into a rat. And at some point, you fucked about so much, I didn't bother. Like, I was slowly building up to making you into a green rat, and then you had so much fun as Hanash.
That's what I thought was going to happen. Yeah.
And then I just went, fuck it. You can just be your happy self. I think it's when you stuck a metal spike in your head. I was like, fuck it, you're your own creature. I can't tell you what you are.
I think a half-man, half-rat with a spike through his head is kind of what's known as a hat on a hat. You're just adding more stuff.
Yeah.
And the spike was already in your head, so...
What the listeners don't realise is we probably played about 50 episodes before we recorded the first podcast episode, so there was a lot of time for Hanash to find his feet. But yeah, originally I was going to turn him into a green rat. It never happened, listeners. But instead, you're getting these wonderful young Hanash one-shots to enjoy. So, without further ado, let's dig into this week's episode. Now then, we're going to go on a bit of a journey, a foray, if you will. I thought this week we would explore an area of young Hanash's life where he was taking a break from being a police officer. Now, where we pick up with this week's storyline is Ahanash and Stitch taking a constitutional break. They are holidaying in the high peaks of Val d'Anton, a exclusive ski resort in the greying wildlands, as the camera zooms in to the peak of a beautiful snow-capped mountain, which is bespeckled with holidaymakers and tourists, all of whom are wearing brightly coloured clothes, carrying wooden skis, and generally swanning around living the high life, as we zoom over to a small corner where our large green friend and our small green friend are currently propped up on skis, standing at the top of the ski run, looking down the mountain at the beautiful white peaks and flowing crests as they look all the way down to the town of Val d'Anton down below, which is bustling with little chalets and hotels as the almost ant-scale people down below bustle around. Now, the interesting thing, listeners, is there's a third person with them. It's not just Hanash and Stitch. On this particular holiday, they have taken Stitch's niece, Thimble. Now, the reason Stitch is looking after Thimble and has agreed to take her on holiday is because Stitch's sister, Bobbin, is recuperating after catching a nasty case of the von Klugman pox. Now, as you know, dear listeners, Gerhard von Klugman was an absolute pioneer of homeopathy. He discovered the von Klugman pox, a disease which inflicts its poor sufferers with warts and boils that sap their strength before the warts and boils burst. Von Klugman himself, as a pioneer of homeopathy, sadly died of an underdose before he could find the cure. But Bobbin is currently recuperating from the von Klugman pox in a hospice, and Stitch has very kindly agreed to look after his niece, Thimble. So as the pair of you look down, you see a very skitty small goblin child on a tiny pair of skis as she sways about trying to prop herself up on two poles. As we pick up the storyline with the two of you at the top of the ski run, looking around, seeing other tourists bustling around and skiing down the slopes.
I fucked your wife!
I knew you were going to say that.
You got in so quick last time, I was like, I've got to be rapid.
I knew... Look, while AJ was talking, I'll be honest, my thought process was, there's a child here. I wonder if that will stop Raggy. That's not going to stop Raggy. There wasn't even a question mark on the end of that on the end of that question. It was just, that's not going to stop him.
I was like, I fucked your aunt, but I thought that might be a bit, like, not couth, so...
Yeah.
I fucked your wife!
As Thimble looks up at you, Hanash, with a sad look on her face, she's like, you're a potty mouth!
My dear Thimble, let me tell you about the crucible of the bit that Hanash insists on giving me every time we go on an adventure together. It's like I'm just going about my life, and then every now and again he shouts, I fucked your wife! He's my best friend in the world, but one of these days, Hanash, one of these days...
I look down at the child, like, with utter fear, because I really thought she wasn't real. I thought she was just, like, a vision of, like, someone I failed to save 5 years ago.
Like a trauma dream of someone who died in a burning building, clutching a plank.
And then I get down and I grab some ice, I put it in my mouth, and then I get my hip flask out, and then I drink some whiskey. And make it like a whiskey slushy in my mouth.
Wow. As Thimble looks over at you, Stitch, she says, Uncle Stitch, why doesn't Hanash have a wife?
Well, that is the subject of much contemplation and investigation down at the Nutbush City Police Station. I believe I am still ahead in the betting pool as to who Hunash will find himself shacked up with.
I think Mummy likes Hunash.
I'm not going to say, though, because then Hunash will know. He will know my secret plans.
Yeah, just like shoot, like stitch some evils, and then like do like pretend finger guns to like his face.
Pretend finger guns, and then a real. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I was gonna say, yeah, you've got your real. You're still carrying, despite the fact you're out of your jurisdiction. You're still carrying both of you. So you have your firearms, badges, and notebooks with you. Do remember, you are out of jurisdiction. You are in the Greying Wildlands and nowhere near Nutbush. So, police carefully.
No jurisdictions and no rules.
As Thimble says, it's time. I want to do the Blackbriar run. As you just see her push off with her poles as she just shoots off down the slope.
I think this really isn't Stitch's thing. He's really only here because the Thimble wanted to come skiing. He's much more of an indoor kid that got a job that meant that he had to be outdoors more than he likes. He wants his TV dinner and he wants a glass of wine. So he is going to like do the old man like butt shuffle off the like ski lift thing and then try and right himself and follow Thimble down.
Hunash is a very competent skier.
I think we're inserting a little bit too much of ourselves into this one shot right now, Chris. Right?
And he gets really low. He's going down, he's crouching, and he gets his head under Stitch, and then like he just stands up, and Stitch is just like sat on his shot on Hunash's shoulders as Hunash is like zipping down, carrying Stitch with him, knowing that Stitch is shitting himself going this fast.
As you're both skiing down with varying degrees of confidence, you watch Thimble out in front. She's maybe 15, 20 metres out in front, showing some degree of skill for her age on skis. This is not her first skiing holiday, but she's far from being fully ski confident. You make your way down, weaving between various holidaymakers. You see a pack of young gentlemen who are on a lad's holiday who are just boisterously skiing around as they gad about. They're becoming dangerously close to skiing as a pack into young Thimble.
Get out of the way, you brigands and bandits!
As one of them turns around, looking at you, looking around everywhere. He looks down at the small form of the elderly goblin. He's like, yeah, jog on. As he just downs a beer bottle and just hurls it at you as it spins past your head, thudding into the snow.
If it nearly hits me, that's fine. Are they still like ambling in front of Thimble?
Thimble is actually showing a nice zigzag pattern, whereas these drunken guys, you know, one of them skiing backwards and they're not really staying in their lane. They're just getting a little bit too close to her as she's losing some of her confidence.
I'm going to use my telepathic speech on the one that threw the beer bottle at me. I'm going to say in his mind,
one day, all that you know and love will come to ruin and fire and darkness. When that happens, you will see my face and you will know the debt is paid.
If Thimble's going past him and we're going past him, then I'll just leave it at that. I'll just let that chaos ride.
Wow.
I can make an intimidation check if you want.
Yeah, go on, make me an intimidation check. Oh dear God.
That's a nat 20.
Piss off. All you roll is nat 20s in that one.
I swear to God, these dice.
I trust you. I trust you implicitly, Mr. Neil. As all of this goes on and you use your psychic powers, as you ski past, psychically tormenting the gaddish youth, Hanash and Stitch, you see he's cracked open a new bottle as he takes a swig, pausing, hearing these threatening voices in his mind. He sways a little bit on his skis, looks at the label on the bottle, contemplating what the fuck he's drinking, shakes his head slightly, and just skis off, leaving his friends. He just shoots off into the distance, just grabbing both sides of his head, a look of fear on his face. As you look over, once again, you see Thimble is just playing, just happily skiing, zigzagging along from side to side, just snow plowing as she goes down. What are you doing, Hanash, as you go down? Anything in particular?
No, it's only like a lot of like flourish to my style, you know, like a lot of splashing snow up in the air.
Thimble is starting to get more and more confidence as you go down. You're about halfway down now. You see she's picking up considerable pace. She's now heading off where she was maybe 20 feet in front of you. She's now like 40 feet in front of you. She's no longer snow plowing. She's just blazing down the slopes.
Thimble, my dear, please wait. Hanash, follow my niece, please. Like a bullet.
Hanash zips past. Yeah, I'm just there, like, scrunched up, like, poles behind me in the toboggan stance.
With a tiny goblin on your shoulders.
Yeah. Shoot me. Yeah, I'm catching up as fast as I can.
First of all, Stitch, make me a persuasion check, please, as you shout to Little Thimble, is the daredevil skier that the little goblin girl is.
16.
16. She can barely hear you over the roars of laughter and giggles as she blazes down. Hanash, you clock this and you just head to it. I need you to make me an athletics check as you just blitz off down the slopes after the little green girl.
I got a 9.
A 9. Heading faster and faster, trying to catch her, doing everything you can, pushing yourself lower to the ground and trying to make yourself aerodynamic. You look ahead and maybe 30 feet in front of you, you can see Thimble is starting to lose control and form as she's veering closer and closer to the cliff edge where there is like a small fence boundary before a large drop off down the side of the valley. The slope turns sharply to the right.
Can I try and use Mage Hand to just like try and push her back in the right direction and just push her away from the cliffside?
Yeah, as you blaze down the ski slopes, the tiny little elderly goblin on the shoulders of the broad orc. I'd say about 30 feet.
I'll reach out and try and use Mage Hand to like, I'm not going to like try and grab her and pick her up, but just to like push her in the right direction, because the amount that I can pick up isn't that heavy. I think it's like 10 pounds, something like that.
Okay.
So I'll just try and like push her in the right direction.
Sure. To represent that, would you make me an Arcana check, please, to see how much you can wield and how much control you have over your mage hand?
That is a 7. No, 8.
8. As you see her skiing ever perilously close to the fence edge with the drop of the cliff, the slope turns to the right. She's carrying on in a relatively straight line as Stitch, balancing on Hanash's shoulders, you channel your arcane powers. As you spread your fingers out, little blue crackling lights sort of arcing between your fingertips as a spectral hand comes out, as you very carefully go to nudge the small green goblin girl as she skis down. Unfortunately, Hanash swerves at the last minute to dodge a fallen log, and instead of nudging the girl on that roll, a giant hand just comes out. And just a spectral hand slaps the green goblin sideways. knocking her silly, prone, onto the snow. And she just tumbles down, end over end, head over skis. You just see the crumpled little form of the girl, twatted by the giant spectral racket of a hand as it just dissipates and vanishes. You just see her crying as you ski up to her.
Try and like stop like where she is, but I don't know like how far away and how quickly this is happening.
As soon as Hanash stops, I'm just going to jump down and run over to her and be like, "Thimble, Thimble, my dear, are you all right? I'm so sorry."
She's just crying, her little bottom lips sticking out. She's like, "Why did you do that? Was that you, Uncle?"
"I'm so sorry, my dear. I was trying to stop you from flying off the cliff, lest your body be dashed upon the rocks upon the mountainside." Can you tell that I rewatched Lord of the Rings last weekend? "Lest your body be crushed upon the mountainside. I'm so sorry, my dear. I tried my best. I was trying to stop you from flying off the cliff."
She looks terrified as you see a single tear just drips over the top of her eyelid and starts flowing down her little green cheek as it freezes in these sub-freezing temperatures, as you see that the little tear just freezes on her cheek and breaks off and tumbles away.
I'm just gonna like run my finger across her cheek where the tear was and just be like, "My child, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can you ever forgive me?"
Make me a persuasion check, please.
21.
21. And she's like, "Oh, Uncle." As she just runs at you, throwing her arms around you. She embraces you in a hug. As all of you laugh, Thimble walks up to you, Hanash, and is like, "Unky Hanash, can I play with your gun?"
"Not your fucking uncle."
Yes.
She just looks at you for ages. She's like, "Yeah, obviously you're not my uncle, but you're my uncle." As she does, like, inverted commas.
"And your chalet friend."
Oh no.
"I'm your housemate."
How did you get cancelled?
I don't know how to explain this, and I can't say this in Stitch's voice with the same like comedy to it. She definitely thinks we're married.
Oh yeah, 100%. Two bachelors who found each other at the right time.
Yeah, yeah. Just my single male friend from work. This is who I'll go on holiday with.
Ah, just Unky Hanash. So she's like, "Unky Hanash, is that a hard no?"
I didn't hear what you wanted. What do you want, child?
"The gun. Can I hold your gun?"
"Can you hold my gun? Can you fuck?" And I just like kick snow at her.
And she just wipes snow out of her eyes, just grit and snow, just making her eyes sting. All of you roll around in the snow. She just picks up a branch and just swings it around and twats it into your midriff as it snaps off. And all of you just tumble around in the snow, having gaddish laughs. All of you picking yourself back up, picking your poles up and putting your skis back on. You amble your way back down the Blackbriar slopes, just slaloming around and just having a good old time with no more problems as you make your way all the way back down to the bottom of the slopes. You arrive back on the road at the bottom of the resort where your hotel is. You're staying at the St. Sebastian Hotel, a very exclusive 4-star hotel in the Val d'Adon ski resort. As you stand in front of it, looking up, it is a beautiful piece of architecture with many beautiful stained glass windows and a giant open forum of an entrance. You just take in what a wonderful break this has been as the three of you stand there, just enjoying the last rays of sunlight before an evening's rest.
I say to the other two, "Right, I better get all ready for speed dating."
She's like, Uncle Hanash, what's speed dating?
It's when you meet a load of new friends and you try and find a very special friend in a very short amount of time.
It's when you want to fuck!
Wow. You really are a potty mouth. Well, I want dinner. I'm hungry.
Yes, my dear. Go and get yourself a nice hearty meal. Hanash, will you join us for dinner? Or will you be having...
Yes, I guess the singles will be there tomorrow.
Will you be having a series of very, very small portions throughout your hasty dates?
I'll join you tonight, but tomorrow's singles night.
The market demands Hanash's appearance.
As you make your way back through the foyer of the hotel, you see on the wall, first of all, there's a poster that says, warning of avalanches. It says, be careful while skiing if you go anywhere near off-piste because there is a current avalanche warning on the runs near the Val de Dun. Also, you hear the porter come across to you as he says, I just want to let you know, there have been a few fears about people in the hotel that they believe there might be yetis about. So just be about yourselves if you go out at night. You know, strange goings on and people thought they might have seen yetis. So just a little warning.
Are you sure they just didn't see me in the snow?
Just about to say that.
Oh! No.
Just wandering around naked outside, flailing his gun around. Just like, I'm gonna get you.
I'm a Yeti, motherfucker.
He's like, no, that's very funny. But no, there's people who've reported damage to their property. And a lady said that her pet dog went missing. In the middle of the night, she can't find it.
I won't say anything, but I'll just look at Hanash. Just like I hope he didn't hurt someone's dog or kidnap someone's dog.
I just look really shifted in my eyes. I'm just like, yeah, that's all right.
Hey. I'll just turn back to the guy and be like, thank you, kind sir. We will be on the lookout for any Yeti-related shenaniganery.
You see, he just holds his hand out.
I give him a big high five.
He looks down, waiting for a tip, as you just high five his hand. He's like, all right, right you are. So glad I let you know now. Just beware of yetis, all right? He just shuffles off behind the desk. Right, all of you, go back to your rooms, preparing yourselves for an evening's dining experience. Just getting into, you know, taking off your salopettes and ski wear and getting into your comfies, ready to go down for a dining experience. It's at this point, Stitch, that you look down. Your right hand was starting to throb. As you look down at your right hand, you see a rash is starting to appear.
What the fuck? Where did this come from? Ugh. Can I examine the rash? And see if I can ascertain how I got it, where it might have come from.
Sure, make me a medicine check.
Have you not been using your sleeping gloves?
I did get a 21, though, for medicine.
It is a raised, very sore patch of skin. On your small green goblin hand, you see various red spots starting to appear in raised bumps on your hand.
Hmm.
Tender to the touch.
Oh, no.
Yeah, at first I was thinking, what was the like Nutbush City Police Department's like the handbook on shitty injuries or like bits of medicine like this that I need to do. But I think more specifically the pox, the symptoms of the pox that we heard about that Thimble's mum has.
Oh, the von Klugman pox?
Yes, the von Klugman pox.
I mean, at the moment, you've just got a nasty sore rash with little welts on it.
Was that, like, one of the symptoms of the pox?
I mean, on a 21, you're starting to get worried. It was the hand that you rubbed against the cheek of Thimble. Thimble was crying earlier. As you look down, it is the same hand that you rubbed across Thimble's cheek.
Has Honos noticed this yet, or is this, like, just stitched to himself?
Well, I presume you're in different rooms.
Ah, right. Oh, I don't know if we were, like, in twin beds.
That's what I was going to say, because this is definitely, like, Thimble waiting in the hotel room, in their hotel room, and this is definitely Stitch in the bathroom by himself, just screaming, "What the fuck?" I'm going to go out, and they're going to say to Thimble, "My dear, I'm very sorry, but I might be coming down with a case of the pox." I'll show her my hand, but, like, keep it far away from her, in case she doesn't already have it.
Oh, no, Uncle Stitch! And she just runs up and hugs you.
I hold my hand up in the air, like, even though she's, like, hugging me around there, I'm just like, "No, don't touch the tainted hand."
You can hear this, Hanash. So you've got adjoining rooms. You're in your own room. Now, Hanash, your room is literally just full of empty beer bottles and, like, you know, whiskey bottles and all sorts, cigarettes and playing cards. And you can hear through the adjoining door.
That's where we both party after Thimble is asleep.
Hanash, you're just in a towel currently.
Yeah, I'm just singing a pop song reminiscent of Swifty.
Reminiscent of Swifty. Ah, yes, Archibald von Swifty, the famous Nicodranan lute artist. Famous for lute hop. Yes, as all of you making your way down to dinner, grab yourself a table by the window, looking out at the twinkling lights, the slopes.
If I've found, like, that my hand has rashed up and I think that it's a symptom of the pox, I'm definitely going to try and find something in the hotel bathroom to, like, bandage it up. It's either that or I just don't go and have dinner. Stitch lived through COVID. He understands it's isolating. It's a real thing.
We all live through COVID. Why don't you make me an investigation check to see what you can find?
Stitch would definitely be like a Trump. It'd be like drinking the bleach, like thinking it's going to cure it.
Oh, no. That's a 9 for investigation.
9. Yeah, I mean, all you can really find is all the usual stuff. You've got complimentary aspirin, complimentary soaps, toothpaste, shower gel, and the towels, really. There's nothing really medical that you can see.
I think I might try and make a makeshift one, then just, like, rip, like, one of my t-shirts or something and just use it as a makeshift bandage.
Okay. So taking your hand, you basically tear up. You've got a Nutbush Varsity football team t-shirt. As you just wrap it around your hand, grabbing your belt, you make almost like a tourniquet. So you're just wearing a kind of like hazmat glove made out of a t-shirt over one hand.
That makes sense.
As you isolate the lurg. And you all want to make your way down for dinner based on that?
Yeah, I'll get some food. I'll see how I feel. I might turn in early tonight, but yeah.
When I see Stitch with, like, his hands, like, covered up, I just kind of look at him and look away and I look back and I say, "Stitch, bestrode me. Are you turning into a Yeti? Is your hand abominable?"
I'm going to say, "My friend, I promise you, I am not turning into a foul-mouthed, abominable Yeti." And then I do my little old man walk to, like, scurry away a bit. And then I turn my head back and I go, "Of course,
That is what a Yeti would say.
I push him over.
As you just roll around, Thimble's like, have I... You two just like busting each other's balls, just smashing into each other as you roll around, knocking over a pot plant, just spilling soil, pebbles and flowers everywhere. You just see the other guest tutting as Thimble's like, come on, I'm hungry.
Of course, my dear, of course. Please forgive us our horseplay. Let's go and get some food.
As you look down, your t-shirt mitten that you've made yourself is now just both wet and full of soil from the plant pot you knocked over as it just clings to your itching hand. You feel a burning from underneath.
I may have to make a visit to some kind of infirmary after dinner.
Dinner first.
The three of you sit down for a wonderful dinner. The St. Sebastian Hotel has pulled out all the stops. And the first thing the two of you do is order yourself a round of cocktails, getting yourself in a couple of old fashions and just kicking back and getting little Thimble in some ice cold orange juice. All of you enjoy a lovely three-course meal. Now, it is a set menu, and just for the sake of shits and giggles, I can tell you that the starters for tonight's meal are a Yogothan sweetbread tartlet with Nicodranian caviar on it. As that round arrives in front of you, Thimble says, what sweetbreads?
Something not to think about.
We mustn't talk of the sweetbreads, my dear. Shh. There are some types of sorcery and magic that we must never question.
She finishes gobbling down her sweetbread tartlet as you shush her using your sticky t-shirt glove as you just push your finger up to your lips through it. She just giggles.
That hand is doing nothing at dinner. I'm fully having like a one-handed dinner. If someone hands me something that needs cutting, like the whole thing is going down in one mouthful. Steak, it's gone. It's gone, son. It's gone.
All right, okay. You keep your little infected hand to yourself.
Yeah.
Thimble giggles to herself, just finishing up the last crumbs of her sweetbread tartlet, just snuffling up the caviar. As the main course arrives, it's a Tamgolan cutlass fish stew with honey, beer, bread, and a pot of beef dripping. As, yeah, the warming taste of the fish curry delights you. Stitch, you keep getting the burning sensation is just throbbing in your hand all the way through dinner. As the dessert arrives, a beautiful jartberry and almond cream milfoy, you snuffle up the last of your lovely dinner, taking time to sink a few more whiskies and cocktails.
I think as we go to leave, I'm going to go by like the, what you call it? Like the host station, like the waiter that like stands there, like waiting to get people a table. And I'm going to go up very, very casually, just like not with my infected hand yet. And I'm just gonna be like, thank you very much for a lovely evening, good sir or madam. I wonder if I could perhaps trouble you for an ambulance of sorts. I have a feeling that my hand might be about to fall off. Or I may have a case of the pox.
I'm afraid we don't rightly have any hospitals around here. I mean, this being a ski resort, we are in the middle of nowhere. There is a clinic, if you'd like to go to a clinic, but oh, it's evening now. I don't think the clinic will be open till morning. Probably opens about 9 o'clock in the morning. Might be a doctor in the house somewhere. We could look on the guest list if you want.
If you wouldn't mind checking the guest list, my good man, a doctor or a cleric of some sort would be very, very appreciated.
All right, I'll see what I can do, sir.
Thank you very much. I give him...
Oh dear, as he looks down at your hand, he's starting to weep pus through the t-shirt.
I'm going to give him... I'm going to give him our room number. I'll go with Thimble and Hanash. Get her back upstairs.
Okay, as you're like sweating now. Hanash, as you make your way through the foyer, you hear a scream from out of one of the doors heading out onto the veranda.
I am curious, but I'm pretty drunk, and so I just like kind of pick up a glass of wine from someone else's table and just like kind of like stagger towards the screen while drinking whatever trash this person had.
It's not trash, it's good white wine, but you are not appreciating it in your current state, as you just hear the kind of disgruntled sigh of high society as you've broken social boundaries, as you just stumble through the middle, just bumping into someone's table, knocking their dinner awry. You amble out onto the balcony where you see a pale-faced woman just clutching her chest as she shakes, pointing her finger out into a snowdrift slightly off to one side of the hotel. As she's like, the Yeti! I saw a Yeti!
You're drunk, you idiot! Get him!
She's like, I'm not drunk. I swear to God, I saw a Yeti.
Where is it then? Where is it?
It melted into the snow.
Pixel didn't happen.
Oh yeah, it's just in that. Why do you want to kill me? Why do you want me to go in there? Look at me. I'm smashed. I am not going to help you.
As you just wave around from foot to foot, drunkenly swaying from side to side. As in the moonlight, she sees the glint off your pistol, doesn't know who you are, gets slightly scared at your drunken state, and just wraps a scarf around herself and just says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't bother you. As you just see her run back into the foyer, into the warm, as the three of you just stand on the balcony, the veranda, looking out at the snowy slopes beyond.
Shit, I gave the guy our room number. I was going to go back upstairs. How old is Thimble? Like, is she like the age where I should be putting her to bed, like right after dinner? Or is she like, I don't know, is she like a teenager?
She's youngish. She's probably like six, something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've probably got a good...
Not independent by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, we could do a tiring her out for an hour or so before we try and put her to bed. Can I just, like, look outside, see if I see anything moving in the darkness?
Sure.
In the shadows.
You can have advantage for accent work. Make me a perception. Make me a perception.
That's a nat 20, baby.
Fuck off. Woo!
You can't. Literally everything you roll is a nat 20. Is that a weighted dice?
No. It's one of the critical roll ones.
I'm going to write a letter to critical roll.
Yeah.
Why is the 20 a penis?
The 20 is a pair of scissors. It's themed on one of the critical roll characters.
That's definitely cock and balls.
Oh. Okay.
Definitely a dick.
On a natural 20, I'll say you look out in the moonlit night sky at the slopes, watching for a good few minutes, looking for movement. You see none. But then as your eyes accustom to the darkness, you do see a trail of footprints, large footprints, heading off over the crest of a hill, or at least a snowdrift.
I'll turn to Hanash and just say, my friend, I don't suppose you've been on any nighttime walks any time since we were at dinner and now. At which time you've been with us the entire time. And I'll try and point out where the footprints are.
Maybe I judged that person too quickly.
No. Yeti or no, that woman was insufferable. Am I right, Thimble? And I'll hold up a hand for a high five.
She jumps up and just gives you the crispest of high fives. Is this with your good hand or your bad hand?
Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it with my non-infected hand.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, as she high-fives you with that hand as you. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I say to Stitch, I was like, I've not fired a gun in a while. It'd be fun. Do you want to go? It could be a friendly yeti, I guess, for all we know. Maybe this lady maced it and it ran away. I don't know.
Yes. I don't want to assume that these yetis are unfriendly just because a hotel porter and an unreliable hotel guest told us that there was yetis about. Perhaps we should go investigate, although I don't want to endanger young Thimble. My sense is that if I try and leave her here, then she will just follow us.
Yeah, I think it's probably safest to keep her with us into the blizzard, is what I'm thinking. I know I've read some books where children have been in it, and that's definitely the safest bet.
Ah, as usual, my friend, you are wise beyond your years.
I just like hide my like my Beano books or whatever they're called, like my desk by Dan and all them where I got these references from.
As you see, Thimble is giddy with excitement, hopping from foot to foot. She looks up at you, she's like, yay! Is this please work?
Yes, my dear. You are being deputized as an honorary member of the Nutbush Police Force, which means you must do everything that Officer Hanash and I say. Do you understand?
She whips off a salute, her eyes glittering with excitement. She's like, yes. Do I get a gun?
I say, no, but you can have my badge, and you can also call me General Hanash.
Yes, General Hanash! As she comes to attention, she's like, on the Yeti hand! And she just clips the badge onto her belt.
Ah, we'll make a good policewoman of you yet, and we'll head off into the snow.
Well, as you head off into the snow, it's powdery white snow as you leave the veranda and the warmth of the hotel, leaving the guests behind. There's much a titter and a gasp as you head off. People are starting to hear tales of these yetis and they're, there's some interest for sure. As the three of you, leaving the light of the hotel, now fully illuminated only by the moonlight, you walk over to the footsteps you see in the snow. They are large. A large foot made these prints.
How far ahead of ourselves can we... Are we into the blizzard yet? Or are we still, like, on the main street?
There's no major blizzard, to the rest of my knowledge, I don't think.
Okay.
It's just a cold night. It's cold, starry night. You see the footprints crest over the hill in front of you. You can probably see them going maybe 20 feet out in front before they vanish.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we're just going to follow the trail. Just, I don't know, maybe do a bit of a skip.
Okay. Hanash, why don't you make me a perception check with advantage, because there's two of you. I don't trust Mr. Neil, who just rolled another natural 20. And that would be boring.
What I have can't be taught, okay?
An unnatural 21.
Amazing. You get all kind of like investigatory about this, like, you know, really giving it a lot of effort into following it. As you follow the large footprints over a hill, losing it for a little while in a coppice of trees, you pick up the trail again, coming out into a clearing amongst the trees. You see a pile of stones in the middle and something slick and wet on the stones in front of you, glistening in the moonlight.
So, like, I lick my finger, I then rub my finger on the stone, and then I taste whatever liquid is on the stone.
You are disgusting. You are utterly, utterly disgusting. I want to throw up into my own mouth, but make me an insight check.
This is what nature people do, right? I've seen this happen before.
Yeah, totally.
19.
I'm going to say natural one there. Much to the disgust of Stitch and Thimble, You run your finger through the viscous fluid on the broken stones, putting it into your mouth. It is cold, wet, and coppery, but you would know that taste anywhere. It is blood. As you look further in amongst the rocks, reaching a hand in, you pick up a broken bone, and attached to it are bits and clumps of meat and fur. As you look at it, you're holding the spinal column of a dog with the tail still attached.
Ugh.
Looking around, you see the remains of what has clearly been a dog that has been broken and chewed on. You see tooth marks on the bones.
I'm going to try and get Thimble to look away from the viscera. I'm going to be like, look, my dear, the stars. There's no stars out. Be like, look, can you tell me what that constellation is? Can I tell if we've like wandered into where the Yetis have made camp, or if it's like where they just found a dog and killed it and then ran off? Can I like see other stuff strewn around, or is it just the rocks with the like remains of the dog?
Make me an investigation check. And try not to roll a natural 20, please.
I'll do my best. You know what? I'll even use a different dice.
I'm joking. Go on. If luck is your friend, who am I to complain?
That is a natural 18, though, for a 21.
Oh, 21! Looking around, the footprints go here, there, and everywhere. They are very, very large. And what you can ascertain from, you know, as a man, both of you have seen many crime scenes. Both of you are fairly desensitized to gore and viscera, as you've seen many a murder crime scene. But one thing you definitely get is the feeling that this dog was eaten.
Mm.
And not in a delicate way. It was torn apart. Bones are broken rather than cut. And teeth marks on the bones tell you that something ate this dog. As all of you pivot on the spot, hearing screams and howls coming from the hotel, a mere stone throw back down the path behind you, you hear the screams and hollers of panic and fear coming from guests. That is where we are going to pause for a quick drinks break to punctuate this episode.
Can't wait to shoot some and not just a mercy kill, like an actual.
Yeah. I'm just going to like fire my gun into the air. Blam, 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 blam.
Wait a minute. You're showing a small girl constellations. You can't then shoot them. Look over here, dear. The cloud.
Blam, blam, blam. I'll pretend it's the stars. Just be like, look, look, Orion's belt. Blam, blam, blam.
Right. Back here in a few minutes. Let's grab ourselves a drink.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Do you like stories with world building?
We're in the Bermuda Triangle.
Bro.
Comedy?
It was a rough birthday for Scrawhim.
Oh no, his birthday!
Drama?
You need to ask my brother to leave. He is not here to be productive.
Oh, you don't have to ask me to leave.
Heartbreak?
What are you talking about? I'm gay!
I thought so too!
Wonderful, a somewhat D&D podcast every other Wednesday, wherever you get podcasts.
It's canon!
Okay, picking back up with the storyline, just keeping a track of time here so that we can wrap this all up in a timely fashion. When we left off with you in the first half, you were on a skiing holiday in Val d'Adon, where Hanash and Stitch had taken Stitch's niece, Thimble, on a retreat on a skiing holiday. Thimble's mum, Stitch's sister, Bobbin, was unfortunately ill with a case of von Klugman's pox and needed a bit of time to recover. Stitch and Hanash should be doing a great job of looking after Thimble, skiing around the slopes, keeping her out of trouble, having themselves a lovely dinner, but had stumbled upon what was looking more and more like a Yeti attack on the hotel they were staying in, the Saint-Sebastien Hotel. And stumbling out into the night before their bedtime, they stumbled upon the missing dog. One of the hotel guests had reported that their dog was missing earlier in the day. And Stitch and Hanash found the broken, bloodied remains of the dog smeared across a selection of stones in a clearing in the woods just by the hotel. And we left the first half of the episode with the ringing of screams and howls coming from the hotel a few hundred meters back down the path through the trees. And that is where we will pick up this half of the episode. Oh, yeah. And Stitch had a gammy hand.
I think I'll turn around and turn around to look back at the hotel and be like, Hanash, Thimble, back to the hotel. We must away.
Running through the snow, you can feel the powdery snow crunching underneath your heels as you charge back through the coppice of trees, almost stumbling at one point over a fallen log, just parkouring over the top of it, bundling yourself through the snow. You break out onto the clearing. 20 meters in front of you, you see the veranda that you stepped off on the edge of the hotel, as you see the window smashed and broken on the side of the restaurant where a mere half an hour before you were dining happily, eating sweetmeat tartlets. You see now the whole window and wall has been torn through and shattered as you hear screams coming from inside the hotel.
Have we just come back in through the lobby, did you say?
No, you're coming in through the side of the hotel.
Okay.
Where there was just a veranda and a nice, like, French door, there's now a hole. Something has smashed through the side of the hotel, leaving a very large entrance now.
I guess we'll just try and follow the sounds of the screams.
Is there somewhere safer that we can put Thimblewinter, or whatever her name is? Timbletots?
Thimble. Just Thimble. Yeah, it's just
By the
Thimble.
Way, none of you know the name of the little girl who you're chaperoning on this holiday. It's up to you what you do with Thimble.
I ask currently your guardian, what do you think we should do with to keep her safe? Is she safer with us or hidden somewhere else?
We could try and put her in her room, but she's a canny one. I think she'll find a way to get out and follow us. I think you might have been right before with your earlier wisdom that perhaps with us is the safest place. What if the Yetis get upstairs to the rooms while she's there? Well, she's alone. Hanash. What would you have me do?
Is there a walk-in freezer that doesn't open from the inside?
Stitch, as you touch the side of your head, as you're gesticulating about your niece, Thimble, you feel the side of your face is tender. As you run your good hand down the side of your face, you feel the rash is now running down the side of your temple, on the side where your gammy hand is.
Oh, my face, my most beautiful feature. How dare you? God damn you, von Klugman pox! Ah!
As you just howl at the sky, Thimble looks at you, holding up the badge you gave her earlier, Hanash. She thought, I'm not going anywhere. I'm a deputy, General Hanash.
Okay, deputy, you hold up the back and let us know if anyone's sneaking up on us, all right? And I'll...
Right you are.
I, as the general, will take point.
She's holding up the rear. She's got a finger gun. She literally cocks her finger gun and just holds it out the back. Shh. Yep, exactly that.
So I get out my real... Again.
Making your way to the craterous-sized hole in the side of the bloody hotel now. Broken glass and wood everywhere as you step in. You hear the screams coming from out in the foyer. Looking around the dining hall, what was a civilized dining experience now is completely derelict. Nobody left in there but broken tables, shattered glass and plates and food smeared on the floor. As you look over, you do see the broken body of the lady who you gave some sass to on the balcony. The lady who spotted the Yeti out in the snowdrift lies neck broken on the floor, one arm twisted at an unnatural angle.
I'm going to walk over and do the thing where you like drape their eyes shut.
You leave her body there. She's still warm, not been dead long. Hearing the screams coming from the foyer, you push your way further through the restaurant area. Thimble still holding up the rear with her finger gun, watching for yetis. You burst out into the foyer, stopped in your tracks. You see in front of you the towering form, not of a yeti, but of a frost giant, towering in the foyer of the hotel. Clearly misinformed, the lady had no idea what she was talking about, as you see it just towering some 30 feet tall in the atrium of the foyer. It's a ginormous frost giant with a flowing white beard. You see its beard is greasy and matted, smeared in dirt and blood. In one arm it holds a giant club made out of a giant tree trunk with a large stone embedded in the end. The stone smeared in blood and bits of bone. You see on the frost giant mismatched planks of wood strapped to its shins and arms, fashioned like crude armor. And hanging off the wrists and waistline of the giant are assorted trinkets fashioned out of skis, poles, a bear skull, and the wheel of a cart. As it growls and claws around, it just scoops up one of the bellboys, tearing off his head. In its mouth, it just crunches down, flinging his body into the wall, where it splats lifelessly, just splatting onto the black and white checkerboard floor with the foyer. The frost giant just howling up at the ceiling, looking around for more snacks.
Cool. Frost giant.
I say, deputy, find cover.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and quietly hurry Thimble behind the reception desk or something like that.
What are you doing at this point? The frost giant hasn't particularly noticed you. It's facing away from you. You can just see the carnage it's enacting on the foyer. It's broken bodies and damaged furniture.
Okay, so it doesn't know we're there yet. Can I investigate, doing like an investigation check to look for anything flammable in the room? Like if there's any, like, you know, there's always like red, like barrels of oil left out in the foyer and stuff.
Yeah, you can certainly make me an investigation check on the auspices of looking for flammable things.
Nine.
The best you can really see on a nine, nothing that you would consider hugely combative, but what you do notice on a nine is some rather impressive crushed velvet curtains. And you also notice the drinks trolley that was being wheeled around the restaurant that has various bottles of hard liquor on it.
Are there any like lit candles anywhere, like on the tables or anything?
Yeah, this is a fine dining establishment. There are some of the tables have been knocked over and the candles have been extinguished, but there are still candles on some of the tables in the restaurant behind you. Yeah,
we do also have guns, like that. Well, that will cause a spark. Just as a thing.
So, Stitch lighting a cigarette using a.
Yeah, just. Ah, fuck. Yeah, I think if the giant's not looking at us, I'm going to be like, quickly, my dear, get to cover, and just like hurry Thimble behind some cover. I'll be like, keep watch for us, deputy, and I'll give her a quick wink. With my one good eye, the other one's like...
Yeah, one of your eyes is getting sort of slightly crusty and pussy on one side. As you go to hug her, she just backs away from you. She's like, I'm all right, Uncle Stitch. You're not looking so fresh.
Thank you, my dear. As always, you are the height of politeness.
That's okay. I got you covered. She takes her finger gun and you scooch her down behind the front desk in the foyer, as the two of you prepare to take on the ice giant, if indeed that is what you will do. If you would like to instigate things, You can have a surprise round on it if you want to roll initiative. Or if you have other things you wish to do, let me know.
Did you say that we saw it, like, rip the head off one of the bellboys or something? If we saw it, like, kill someone, then I'm ready to take it down. I didn't know if it was just, like, a case of it turned up and then people started throwing shit at it and it got a little bit mad and just killed a couple of people.
I mean, make me a straight-up insight check.
I'm going to use my other D20. Just out of fairness, so that you don't think I'm juking the system here.
All right.
It's pretty good. That's a 21.
I'm taking Chris Neal to a casino after this, listeners. A 21. You've established this is a feral beast and not just a slightly snarky tourist. This is definitely. You can see the ice giant still has dog fur clinging to the edge of his beard, where he clearly ate bingo.
Oh, I forgot about the dog. No one good kills a dog. We need to murder this guy.
This isn't a slightly disgruntled German tourist on holiday. This is a full-blown,
no,
like, feral...
Fuck human beings. Human beings.
Frost giant.
We need at least three examples where human beings have been killed, but if you even talk about hurting a dog, you're going to die.
I turn around to Stitch and I just go, shh. Can I try and sneak to the hard liquor and, like,
yeah,
have a couple of bottles?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a pre-round. So if you want to do, like, we have not entered into initiative yet. So if you want to stock up on some hard flammable liquor, absolutely you can, yeah.
Cool. I'll do that. I'll bring a candle over with me as well, and I'll grab some cloth from one of the tables.
I have a hanky. I don't know if it's a used hanky or if it's that, like, old man thing of always having a clean hanky, like, in a pocket somewhere. But I'll hand it over.
I just look at it and in my head it's just, like, sopping wet. Like, there's no way this is gonna light. And I just, like, shake my head, like,
yeah. It's not me, but the hanky is, like, patient zero for this pox.
One of Stitch's eyes has gone slightly puffy now, Hanash, and you can just see, like, some sort of clear fluid weeping out of one corner of his eye, as with his one good hand, he just pulls out a hanky, looking like something out of Outbreak. He just waves it in front of you as you wheel in your little cart of armaments back onto the foyer, arriving with hard liquor, candles, and torn up tablecloths. You arrive back on the edge just in time to see the frost giant tear up the cash register off the front desk as you hear the screaming little form of Thimble ducking down behind the counter. The giant hasn't seen her, but it just tears up the cash register, spins around and hurls it in your direction, Hanash. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
11.
You see the cash register hurling towards you as it impacts onto the wall next to you. Hard coins rain down upon you as you take 3 points of bludgeoning damage as coins just impact into the side of your face as the floor is just slick with copper, silver and gold pieces spilling out all around you. As you look over at the plaster work on the wall is just crumpled next to your head with a dented cash register on the floor.
Well, so I have 10% of my health gone. I'm scared.
Can I cast? If it's already chugged that at Hanash, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna cast Mind Sliver on it, so it needs to make a intelligence saving throw and beat a 15.
Okay, I got a 13 on the roll, minus one because frost giants are thick. A 12.
So you're gonna take 5 psychic damage, and the next saving throw you make before the end of my next turn, you have to take a 1d4 away from it. I assume that's just like the surprise round.
Yeah, that's the surprise round. As you all roll initiative, as you see the frost giant holding onto its head, Stitch, as it's like, as it just grabs onto its temples, spinning around.
I got a nat 1 for initiative, so that becomes a 2.
I got a nat 20.
I saw the 20 and I was like, it'd be really funny if you got nat 20 and I got nat 1.
I got a disgusting 20.
A filthy, filthy 20.
Yeah. Hanash, you are at the top of the round as you look up and you see the frost giant holding onto his temple, screaming, as clearly your friend Stitch has played an unholy number upon it.
Can I use my bonus action to make a Molotov, since I've got all the ingredients near me now? Or is that an action?
Why not?
Yeah, cool.
For the rule of cool.
So Molotov, surprisingly, isn't a item. Should I just use dynamite as a proxy?
Hold on.
We've all played Last of Us, all right? Molotovs are the most badass thing you can possibly use.
Let's have a look at the rules for a Molotov. As an action, you can throw a Molotov cocktail at a point up to 60 feet away. Each creature within 20 feet of an exploding cocktail must make a DC 15 dexterity saving throw or take 1d10 fire damage and will continue burning for 1d4 rounds. So, would you like to hurl it?
I would love to hurl it.
It gets a minus 1d4 from its saving throw because of Mind Sliver.
Ooh, nice. So DC 15 dexterity, listeners, with a minus 4.
D4, D4, not minus 4, minus 1d4.
Oh,
so you
sorry.
Have to roll the...
Do you want to roll the d4?
Sure.
Ha-cha-cha-cha. With your lucky dice.
That's a 3.
My God, right, so that was an 8 down to 5.
Nice.
Eight damage.
You have set it on fire. It takes 8 damage as Hanash, you pull back the cocktail, lighting it off a candle, hurling it, it arcs through the air as you just hear little Thimble, who's watching you from the corner, going, wow. As it just impacts onto the back, shattering as you hear the howl and the sizzling of flesh on the frost giant as it screams, swatting at its back, dropping its club onto the floor. As it swats with both hands, some of the wooden trinkets on it igniting, taking 8 points of damage.
How far away am I from the troll, or whatever it is, the giant?
About 20 feet away from the frost giant in the foyer. It's now very clued up to you two. There are other people in the foyer. There's guests running and hiding, people trying to hide underneath tables. It wasn't paying much attention at you and wasn't even sure that the mindfuck had come from the little goblin. But once you hurled a flaming bottle into its back, it well and truly has.
Is there anywhere that I could, like, run and try and hide just while it's distracted by trying to put itself out of fire?
Yeah, there's pillars. A couple of pillars in the foyer. So the ceiling is held up by large concrete pillars. Giant's turn. It's going to use all of its actions to try and put itself out. Which it fails. Amazingly fails. It just swats at itself with its hands, trying to put itself out. Roll a d8.
1.
One. Okay, it just keeps burning on its turn. The giant has used up all of its actions, swatting at itself, trying to put itself out. It's still burning, losing a little smear of health. You can hear the crackling and smell the horrible burnt skin smell of the frost giant as it howls into the air, the howl echoing off the walls. Stitch, your turn. What are you doing?
I am gonna cast Tasha's Mind Wit. So it needs to make an intelligence saving throw.
Fuck me, listeners. That's a natural 3 reduced to a natural 2.
Woo!
Because a frost giant is fucking stupid.
I knew I kept some spells in here that were intelligence saving throws. So it takes 3d6 psychic damage. And also, it can't take its reaction until the end of its next turn. And also, on its next turn, it can it has to choose whether it gets a move, an action, or a bonus action. It only gets one of the three.
Oh, okay.
This is a great spell. Oh my god! I rolled.
And it has no. It has no reaction. Yeah.
I rolled 3d6 and I got 2 sixes and a 3, so that's 15 damage. I saw the two sixes and I got very excited.
Is that psychic damage?
Psychic damage.
Yeah. So again, Hanash, as you duck down behind the pillar, you look over at Stitch, whose eyes are crackling blue, clearly doing some sort of amazing combative psychic spell. As you look over again at the form of the frost giant that's swatting and swatting and swatting, you look over and trying to put out the flames that are crackling over its body, just swatting off some of the trinkets on itself. You look over at the still twitching headless corpse of the bellboy on the floor not far from you, Hanash, as again the frost giant grabs onto its temples, howling, looking like it's got the world's most like splitting migraine. Like almost trying to like just claw down. You see where the claws are going down the side of his own face as he's scraping his skin off in fury, trying to get these shooting pains out of his own skull. The frost giant just howling at his own head, looking fairly self-involved at the moment. You can see it's taken a whack of damage already. You just watch people running. Some of the people who are hiding underneath tables, etc., and now take this moment to get up and try and run across the foyer whilst the frost giant's looking kind of like self-involved, holding onto its own head. We spin back round to Hanash at the top of the round again.
So I'm just going to, like, so I've got my kind of gun, I like kind of muzzle pointing up, and then I swivel around the pillar, and then I clock it in the eye, or try and like get it in the face. So I'm gonna roll. I got a 6 to hit.
6 to hit. Let me just double check the armor class of Frost Giant. It's not got great armor, but 6 is not gonna hit. As you shoot, just as the Frost Giant rocks back, holding onto its head, you miss the bullet, just smashing into a chandelier as bits of cut glass just rain down onto the floor. As you hear the hotel manager, who's ducked down on a table to your left, go, "Oh my God, do you have any idea how much a cut glass chandelier costs? Seriously?
Send the bill to the Nutbush police station, and then when they don't pay it, go fuck yourself."
He's writing down frantically in a little notebook. He's like, I will, all right, I'm sorry. Emotion does strange things. Okay. Right, yeah, Hanash, you've still got a bonus action and you've got movement.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and move as far away as I can from... So I'm about 20 feet. I'm going to try and move up if I can. If there's any room to move 20 feet away from the troll, then I'll do that. But I don't know if I've got space in the room to move that far away.
Definitely a giant and not a troll. Yeah, you can duck between pillars. So you can run across the other side of the foyer, ducking behind another pillar. You are now 40 foot away from the giant. Coming back to the giant's turn, it's going to try and put the flames out on itself, which it successfully does. Just scooping up a tablecloth, it just swats and swats and swats in its own face. Finally, putting out the flames on its body. Looking down, it just looks at the scarred and puckered, wilted flesh on its own body, melted like a wax tallow candle. As it spins around, eyeing up what it's gonna do.
Remember, it can only do an action, a bonus action, or its movement this turn. Because of Mind Whip.
Ooh, you're quite right. Keep me honest. Thank you very much. Its action was indeed putting itself out. So, having only just recovered from the psychic damage from Stitch's Mind Whip, was it? Its sole action is to put itself out, which now means it's Stitch's turn.
All right.
I'm going to go all out just this one time.
As an action, I'm going to use Mind Sliver again to make it make an intelligence saving throw.
Intelligence saving throw. Fuck, doodle do. That's an 8 reduced to a 7 with a -1 intelligence for a frost giant.
Love that. So it takes 6 psychic damage.
It can't roll for shit, listeners. How much? Sorry?
6 psychic damage.
Yep.
And the next saving throw it makes before the end of my next turn has a -1d4. So I'm going to use... Wait, how many sorcery points is it? I'm going to use... Oh, sick! I'm going to use 2 sorcery points. And I will use Catapult at a second level. It has to make a DC 15 dexterity saving throw with the -1d4, which I will roll for you.
You roll me that.
That's super cocked. That's the highest a dice has ever gone when I've tried to roll it, and it was hilarious. That's a -2.
-2. It's already got a -1 to dexterity, so that's a -3 to whatever we roll. Fuck! Listeners, it rolled a 2 with a -3, so it's currently at -1. 2 with a -3, a -1.
It walks towards whatever I throw at it, basically. So that's 4d8 damage. Okay, let me roll these. Hoi! That's pretty good. Hoi! That's pretty good. Hoi! That's also pretty good. Ha! 23 bludgeoning damage.
Shut the front door.
23 bludgeoning damage.
This frost giant is looking injured, listeners. How many different missiles was that from your catapult?
It's just one.
Just one?
It's like a telekinesis thing. I just like lob something at him.
Yeah. Was it a natural physical thing or was it a magical?
It's
construct.
It's a spell, but it uses like it picks up and throws a physical thing at it.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, just for the sake of narrative and coolness, just for the rule of cool, your spell picks up one of the shattered pieces of glass from the broken chandelier that Hanash has just shot down. Using your magical catapult, you hurl it at lightning speed. It flies across the atrium of the foyer as you watch it in slow motion as the light from the candles glint off the cut glass as it punches into the face of the frost giant, crushing its nose back up into its face. The giant clawing at its own face, ripping a piece of glass out of its own face as blood just fountaining out of its ruined nose. It is angry as it howls into the air, just spitting out blood onto the floor of the foyer. Wow.
Go back to the frosty abyss, you giant. Giant.
Hanash, it's your turn.
So, because I'm 40 feet away, I scurry 10 feet towards it. I take a pop shot.
Nice.
19 to hit.
19 to hit definitely hits. As you, pull out your service revolver, aiming it, pulling the trigger, the recoil, blasting the gun back up into the air. You hear the wet popping noise as you shoot it low in the chest. Going through the rib cage, you hear a sucking noise as you can hear the frost giant sucking in air through a hole in its lung. It howls, holding on to its own waist, taking its hand off its broken nose. What damage are we talking?
8.
8. Nice. Woof. Considering where it came from, it's looking very damaged. Okay, it's the giant's turn.
I scurry 10 yards, 10 feet back. So I'm 40 feet again.
Got it. Amazing. Yeah, dodging out from behind the pillar, taking your shot, dodging back. You hear Thimble from behind the counter going, "Yay, Uncle Hannah!" Just screaming at the top of her voice. The giant is angry. It just reaches down, picks up a ginormous wad of broken stone from one of the walls. Holding it in one hand, it looks up at the two targets in front of it, picking Hanash, that you're sort of in cover behind a pillar, but it basically picks up the giant block of stone off the broken wall and hurls it at you, Hanash. Let's see what it gets. Whew. That's a natural 20. Jesus Christ. Finally, it got its roll. I tell you what, the nat 20 would double the damage. Because you're behind a pillar, I'll half the damage. So we'll just take it out at what it is. Hanash, you take 12 points of damage as part of the pillar you're hiding behind is smashed apart as you're thrown backwards, taking bludgeoning damage. The side of your face just pockmarked with like bits of stone. You feel blood welling up.
Oh my god. Yeah, good job I didn't take double damage. I'd have been dead.
You'd have been dead. Yeah.
Yeah, my face is like fully like doubled in size.
Oh no.
Pull your hand back from your face. It's just slick with blood as you open up your eye, checking both your eyes still work. Slightly dazed, you pick yourself back off the floor, looking at the giant hole in the side of the pillar where you were just standing. You can see the giant like through the hole. Stitch, it's your turn. What are you doing?
Okay. Where am I in relation to like the giant and Hanash? I know that Thimble is behind the desk, but
If you were to look, say the foyer is a square, yeah?
Yeah.
The giant's in the middle. Thimble's on the far right-hand side. Hanash is on the bottom, and you're on the left, basically.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Okay, I won't use that then. Okay. As my action, I'm going to take aim with my revolver. I'm going to try and pop one in the eye with my plus one to hit with my gun. This is going to be a real... That's a 14 to hit.
Oh, just misses. As you shoot your pistol, unfortunately, just as the frost giant swings around his club, you see the bullet embedding into the wood of the trunk of its club, harmlessly just
all right.
Kicking
we
up.
Still got sorcery points, baby. Splinters. So I'm going to quicken spell and use a bonus action to cast Tasha's Mind Whip again. So it needs to make an intelligence saving throw.
For sure. What's this? Intelligence minus one. Of course it is. Can't get a fucking break. It either rolls high or low. 9 minus 1 is 8.
Okay. So it's going to take the damage, which is... Okay, that's not as good. That's good. Oh, that's fantastic. 14 psychic damage, and it can only use a it can only use its action or bonus action or movement on its next turn.
Jesus Christ. Again, it grabs on, it pulls up the club in a backswing about to charge at Hanash, having seen it's knocked Hanash onto his ass. Just as it swings back its club, your bullet bouncing off the club in its backswing, you see the splitting pain running through the frost giant's head as again he drops his club, throws both hands up to his head. You see, you can almost feel the splinters of psychic power tearing through its temples as it claws at the side of its head, howling. You see the frost giant drop down onto one knee, just moaning, holding onto its head. Clearly in a bad way. You see blood trickling out of both of its ears, and it's the hole in the front of its face where its nose used to be, smashed in by the glass catapult missile. It is, if you're finished with your turn, Hanash, it's you.
How close is it to me right now? Is it like right next to me?
40 feet, I believe. You can come out of cover. You were 40 feet away.
I thought you said it was coming at me. Okay, I'll go.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point. No, it's a fair point. I did say that at charging. I say 30 feet away from you now, yep. It's a valid point.
Okay, cool. I'm going to jump onto a table, and I'm going to have like a wide, firm stance to kind of really, you know, get a good shot here.
Love that. Nutbush police training kicking in.
jump onto the table and go prone to get that tiny crosshair.
That's going to give me advantage, right?
Oh, that's so crunchy.
What did you get?
12 to hit.
As you get on the table, aim to fire. Missing, you just see the bullet smash into the countertop by Thimble as she's like, whoa, I'm on your team, Deputy General. General Hanash?
That's General Hanash to you, young'un.
Yeah, motherfucker.
All right.
Young blood.
Pew, pew. It's the giant's turn. Furious, it's going to run over to Hanash. It can only move. So, Hanash, it is upon you.
Yeah!
You're on your table. The giant is right on top of you. As you look up at it now, you see the full scale of this frost giant. It is a beast to behold. Its skin is puckered and melted and burnt from where you threw a bottle of liquor, igniting it. You see the front of its face is broken from where its nose was smashed in by a catapult. The blood dripping out of its ears from all the psychic damage it's taken. It sways from side to side, a look of fear and desperation and rage upon it as it is upon you. Mere feet away from you, Hanash, as you are like aiming prone on the table. Stitch, it is your go.
Seeing it run towards Hanash, I'm going to shout, "Get away from my friend, you foul abomination!" And I'm going to cast Catapult again, so it needs to make a DC 15 dex saving throw.
Nice. DC 15 dex saving throw. Any minus for saving
nah.
throw? No. DC 7 minus 1, listeners. 6. Fucking frost giants. Sound cool?
They do really. Sound cool.
There's a minus 1 to absolutely everything. That was a 6.
Okay. I mean, my damage rolls aren't great, so might not do it. I'd love it if it did do it, though. That is a 13 damage.
13 damage. Remind me again. Sorry, what was the spell?
Catapult. So it's just like telekinesis, really. Just like throws something at it.
Catapult. Picking up a rock off the floor using your magical catapult, you hurl it across the floor of the foyer. It crunches into the back of the frost giant's head. You see it shattering the skull at the back, impacted in, as the frost giant runs a hand onto the back of its head, pulling away a bit of hair attached to broken skull, a confused look on its face, its eye going slightly twitchy on one side. It is hanging on by a thread, and it is barely on this mortal coil, swaying backwards and forwards, just blood gouting out the back of its shattered skull. Hanash, it is your turn as you look up into the swaying form of the frost giant. It was glaring down at you. It now has a slightly confused look as it brings a bloody hand back round the front, looking at the ruined piece of skull and hair in the palm of its hand from its own head. What are you doing?
Finish him, my friend.
So I'm going to use my short sword, and you may be asking, where did this boy have a short sword all this time? It was in the poles. It was in the poles. So I make an attack with my short swords. Fuck off. 10.
Wait, do you have action surge? Is that a thing that you have now, or is it a later level thing?
I do have action surge, yeah.
I just want Hanash to do this. I just want Hanash to kill this thing.
Metagaming? No, I'll allow it. We're having fun.
I'll make another roll of them. It's 19 to hit.
Ooh, you lucky man. Go on, just for shits and giggles, roll me damage. This should be hilarious. I mean, try and fuck this up, please.
7.
How would you like to do this? It only had 2 points of health left. Chris nearly killed it.
So I think we call this like a team finisher. And so like it's coming at, it's running at me. Chris like slings the slingshot. It falls on me behind the stair with my sword sticking up. I don't even go at it. It just lands on the sword.
Oh, it falls forward. You see, it holding onto the back of its head. It pulls off a flap of skin, a skull matter with hair on it as it looks slightly woozy. It's swaying backwards and forwards as it rocks forward. Hanash, you whip out your sword as it just slowly slides down your sword. Your sword going underneath its sternum, up through its heart, into its chest and bursting out the back as it just slowly impales itself, coming to a rest with you lying almost underneath it, fully having run it through. It just opens its mouth with one last expulsion of air as blood just flows down the front of its mouth and onto you, the light going out of its eyes.
Deputy, get this thing off me!
I'm going to run over with my useless old man goblin body and try and help. Like,
don't you touch me, leper.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
I'll go up to him and then as soon as he calls me a leper, I'll just be like, if there's other people still in the lobby, I'm just going to be like, somebody help this man. He really doesn't like lepers. And he's still a very nice person.
Phenomenal.
Probably.
You see guests who are hiding, who are in other rooms, now start to all like coalesce back into the foyer as word gets out that the frost giant has been felled by these two heroes. Thimble popping up on top of the countertop in the foyer, just still with her finger gun out and her badge. She's like, freeze, motherfucker!
Just looking at Thimble, very proud. Just like, that's right. They will bow to your authority.
Hanash, as you slide out from underneath the broken, impaled form of the frost giant, you see your sword is twisted and bent and probably useless now, but what a way to break your please standard issue short sword. You slide across the slick tiles of the foyer, standing just drenched in blood, looking out across the shattered foyer. You see the broken, slightly leprous form of the goblin friend smiling at you as Thimble comes running along too, joining him as she just skitters through the bits of broken glass, chandelier and coin that are scattered across the floor from the cash register that was hurled at you earlier. Yeah, as a round of applause goes up from the guests who have survived in the hotel, you see the hotel manager say, I would like to say thank you on behalf of St. Sebastian Hotel. You have truly saved us. And as a sign of goodwill, I will not be charging you for this chandelier.
Fuck you, I want free lodgings for life.
If you would like to help us, yes, my friend is correct. You should be offering us and our deputy here free lodgings for life. But also, if you could call for a doctor, like I asked one of your waiters to do several hours ago, that would be very, very appreciated. I'm like using my cloak to like cover up like half of my face because I've definitely got a rash. I'm just covering myself as best I can.
The porter comes back, having been through the guest list and found a doctor who's staying at the hotel. You see a small doctor desperately carrying his medical bag as you see the tiny form of a man who stands in front of you, Stitch, as he's like, ah, you do seem to have a nasty case of... hold on a minute.
The von Klugman pox.
Yes, you do actually have a nasty case. Von Klugman pox. Ugh, my name is Klimt Cream, and I will be your doctor for the day. As he rummages through his bag, that is where we are going to end this very special holiday one shot.
Just anyone that sounds like Skarl is like triggering for me. Anyone, because he sounds like Skarl and because he starts every sentence with,
You know who Dr. Klimt Cream is, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes. I've just joined Hanash's past and Hanash's present up in what many would say is a narrative masterstroke, listeners. Even if I just plucked that clean out of my ass in a panic. There we go. That was an interesting tale. It didn't quite go to some of the places I thought it might do, but Hanash has once again saved the day. And I'm very glad, Hanash, that you got the killing blow. Stitch tried his very best and took the frost giant down to 2 health points, leaving you wide open for the heroic kill.
Yeah, Stitch does some mad damage.
Blam! That's me with my mind bullet. Blam! Blam, blam! And then you with actual bullets.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Personally, I was all here for the improvised Molotov cocktail. I thought that was absolutely banging, if I'm being honest.
Love that. Love that.
Big fan. Right, any last words or thoughts?
I enjoyed that a lot of young Hanash, like, has a child companion in them. At least 2 of them now have we've had children companions.
Mm. I wasn't expecting Stitch to be the one in the, like, in the... Well, I mean, if it's one of the 2 of us, it's going to be Stitch over Hanash, let's be fair, as like a caregiver, in quotation marks, to be very clear. It definitely, like, any time, like, before we went out into the snow, and when we came back, I was definitely like, okay, can we hide this child away somewhere? But, yeah, it was wild. It was good.
Good. I'm glad you managed to keep Thimble alive as well. I was curious to see whether you would. I was open to the fact you might get smooshed. You did well. We never quite substantiated whether she gave you von Klugman's pox, but, you know, probably. And you managed to keep the storyline going long enough that the pox didn't kill you, which, you know, I was all up for that being the end of Stitch Willowtip. But, you know, you managed to defy the odds. And your favourite Klimt Cream, Doctor Extraordinaire, saved the day. So... there we go. Right, listeners, before we let you go, we just want to say a massive thank you for tuning in for another dollop of fun-packed fantasy fuck nuggetry. Now then, seeing as you made it this far, why not consider hitting that subscribe button and never miss another episode again? Also, if you are feeling in the mood for it, why not consider giving us a review on whatever podcasting platform you are on? Really does help with all the algorithms. The more reviews you give us, the higher up algorithms we go, and the more people get to hear this wonderful content. Also, we'd love some feedback, good or bad. If you fancy chatting to us about anything you've heard across the course of this episode, your best bet is to get hold of us on the platform formerly known as Twitter X, where you can find us at Adventurers, A-N-O, number one. But if you fancy chatting to Stitch Willowtip himself, get yourself over to Instagram, because Stitch looks after that.
Because that's my house, motherfucker. That's my house.
So,
I don't know what that means.
That just leaves time to say a huge goodbye from Hanash himself, Mr. Chris Ragg.
Goodbye!
And a huge goodbye from your favorite diminutive goblin, Mr. Chris Neal.
Until next time, my precious blueberries, lest you are dashed upon the rocks of capitalism and time! Time!
Yeah, now you're awake.
Right, listeners, with any luck, we'll see you back here next week for more adventures. But in the meantime, remember... Right, go on, Mr. Neil, drop your bomb.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Adventure is out.